pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Wednesday morning. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106 to be in touch with the show. Just shoot me a text. I'll try to respond, giving time constraints. We'll do our best. Still to come on the program, about 30 minutes from now, Congressman Barry Moore, he represents the 2nd Congressional District, but is running for the Republican nomination in the 1st Congressional District. That's coming up in about a half hour, so please stick around for that. But joining us now, his opponent in the upcoming Republican primary. We're always glad to get him on. He represents us here in the current 1st Congressional District. Congressman Jerry Carl is on with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing great. How about you, sir?
I am living the dream. Thanks for making time for us. Before we get into anything, let's start here. Kevin McCarthy leaving, the former House Speaker. What's your reaction?
Oh, it's sad. I mean, you watch a man spend his whole life, you know, working through local government, state government, gets to Washington and works his way up to leadership, and then this gets destroyed with one round of votes. You know, most people don't realize that job requires you to deal with every different personality up here. And every elected official seems to have, you know, a split. Some of them got 7 or 8 different personalities. And you got to have a special person that can deal with all of those. So I'm sad for Kevin and for Kevin's family. I know Kevin's mother very well. I got to spend some time with her and my wife and I, and she was so proud of her son. So to go out this way, it's a disgrace. It really is. It's sad.
Well, I suspect he'll be just fine. I'm sure he'll land.
Oh, he'll land somewhere. He can write a ticket. But, you know, in so many people's lives, and Kevin comes across this way, it's all about, you know, how to better the government, how to increase the Republican Party, how to bring it back to more of a conservative base. You know, that was always Kevin's focus. So for Kevin just to be stripped of that, but Kevin can go anywhere to do virtually anything he wants to do. It's not about money. It's not about opportunities for Kevin McCarthy. He can write his whatever he wants to do, he can do.
Well, we're certainly watching that. Like I said, I feel good he's going to land on his feet and be in a good, solid ground. Let's kick it off here. I asked you this last week, but it's probably going to be a weekly question. We get you on every week. How's the campaign going?
Campaign's going, begin to pick up a little bit. You know, we're getting a little press coverage. People begin to talk about it. We're focusing on Wiregrass last week, trying to get some things accomplished. We're really strong, putting some strong connections together over there with people, with the local parties over there. So we're excited what we see over there. And at the same time, we've got to cover our base here and make sure that folks in Baldwin County, Mobile County, Escambia County know that, you know, we remind them what we've done. You know, I tell everybody all the time, I'm a workhorse. I'm not a show horse. I'm not going to take time to, you know, take credit for something I've done because I've already moved to 2 or 3 other things that I need to get done. So, but we're excited what we're seeing. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a very positive outcome.
Your decision to go up on air early, I saw that, Talk a little bit about that, how important it is, at least for your campaign, to be out and about at this stage.
So Election Day is 100 days from today. And we have to get folks in the Wiregrass is where we went up on the Wiregrass. And all that was a very simple ad saying, this is who Jerry Carl is. We're trying to get people to say, oh, there's an option. There's a candidate. And that's what that was when you're talking about going up early. We're just trying to get them to understand in the Wiregrass first step is there's more than one person in that race. So it was a simple, very simple ad that we ran. I didn't like it, to be quite honest, but everybody else said, I don't like anything they do on me, by the way. I hate seeing myself in a picture or hear my voice, I can't tell you how many texts and emails we've got from the Wiregrass, just excited to know that we're there and we're going to, there'll be an option. So that was what that was for. again, very simple. It's just a hi, this is who I am. And of course, we'll start stepping that up with obviously more advertising and more focused advertising.
Well, and then last question on campaign stuff before we move into some policy matters, but talk about this, and I don't know how much thought you've given to it, but with the second congressional district in a crowded primary, and that's going to be going on simultaneously with your race, like how do you navigate? I mean, do you think about, like, how am I going to kind of stand out from a lot of the noise from the district just to the north?
We'll do that. But, you know, there's a possibility there'll be 23 different people advertising for two jobs. Doesn't even count the presidential stuff. So it's going to be mass confusion on not just the radio, but TV and everything else. It's not a fire alarm, by the way. You can hear it in the background. It's going to be mass confusion. So we've got to get creative in how people remember Jerry Carl. You know, remember that name. So when they do go to vote and they do see an option, that ad will stick out in their mind. So we've got a pretty creative bunch that we've hired to do that. We're filming commercials. We started last week doing a little bit of voice. This week we'll do the makeup and all that stuff. That'll happen this week. So, that is my least favorite part of this job, I'll tell you right now, making commercials. It just doesn't fit my personality, but we've got to stand out somehow. We truly do.
Joined by Congressman Jerry Carl here on the program. Congressman, let's talk about Ukraine, and I this has kind of been a hot topic as of late, but supplemental, what ought to be included, but kind of give us a walkthrough about what you're seeing from your point of view.
Well, from start this conversation, I am in no mood to send more money to Ukraine until we can figure out a way, maybe, if we can figure out a way and be assured we're going to fix the southern border issue. So the Senate has sent us a synopsis of what they're going to ask for, the Senate Democrats. And I was looking at it here. I knew we were going to talk about this, or I had a feeling we would, knowing you. They're asking for $15.1 billion for Ukraine. $15.1 billion. And then if you read in the small print on the U.S. Customs side, they're looking at $2.3 billion for emergency fund for the U.S. Immigration and Custom Enforcement. $923 million of that is going towards operational costs. That's just to process more people. So they kind of put all that together. You'll see it blow up here. You will see it blow up here. If they're going to get, they have any chance of passing the Ukraine budget or more money to Ukraine, it's going to have to be a standalone bill, and I have no intentions of voting for anything standalone on Ukraine. Now, it's too early to say what we're going to do or not do. We've got to get the full package in here, and we'll start splitting it up. You understand the process even better than I do. But I'm not, I have no interest in sending any money to Ukraine at this moment.
What is the appropriate U.S. policy with regards to Ukraine? Because, I mean, some of your colleagues on the Republican side and a lot of your colleagues on the Democrat side really think that this is they see it as a hill to die on. They think it's justified and that it sends a message to the world. But I mean, maybe I'm not quite there. Where do you think is the what if President Jerry Carl? What would you do different from Biden?
What I would have done different, I would have set up. I would have helped him from the very beginning. I voted to help him from the very beginning. I mean, we've got to push back on Russia. We've got to win that. But the money going over there, Jeff, and what little I have seen is there's no accountability. Now, we've got an administration, and I can't put myself in this position. We've got an administration that doesn't have problems sending billions to Ukraine, but on the border, it's wide open. It's 10,000 plus a day. What are we going to do with these people? I mean, 10,000 a day. I mean, it's millions. We have to feed. We have to house. We have to provide them health care. We haven't seen the cost of that yet. That's going to start kicking in year two, three, and four. So this next administration, whomever it is, which very likely is going to be Donald Trump, we hope, And you're going to see them have to deal with the cost of this, because these people, I mean, they have to exist. They have to eat. Not all of them are bad characters, but there are some very bad characters coming across that border, too. I've been to the border. We'll talk about that a different day at a different time. But it is just pure chaos, and all they're doing is processing people. It's like running cattle through a chute at an auction. They don't care who you are or what you look like. They just process you in 24 hours. They got you on a bus or a plane, going to wherever you want to go in America. Well, and we, the taxpayers, picking that up. But yet they want to send more money to Ukraine. That's where I draw the line. You want to know where I'm drawing the line? That's where I draw the line. Fix it here first.
Well, and maybe this is a question more appropriate for a Democrat, but I'm going to ask you anyway. I'm old enough to remember when Democrats used to be the anti-war party, right? Like, in 06, they made a whole midterm election about these foreign entanglements, and were successful. And it's my perception here that Democrats, why is this such a hill to die on? Why has the Democratic Party on Capitol Hill really aligned themselves with this cause so hard and fast?
I believe that. This is my true belief. I believe Ukraine is the distraction. They can always go to Ukraine. I mean, they wear their flag. They do everything they can here. It's a distraction to take our attention away from the border. It's the same thing they've done in Europe. And look what's happening in Europe. We're going to wake up one day and our streets are going to be full of people that hate Americans demanding more rights. And then we're going to understand what socialism is going to drive this country. We've got to stop it at the border. We have no other choice. I know so much more, and again, I'll be more than glad to share it with you at another time, because I know you've got other guests coming in behind me, but there's so many things we can do other than just stand and count people as they come through. Most people don't realize, the numbers they're talking about, 10,000, those are the ones that we know, then we quote-unquote process. And just before dark, they drag a long board down this road, dirt road, and that dirt road goes for miles and miles and miles and miles and smooth the dirt out. The next morning, there's a guy, many guys, their job is going to count footprints. That's how many they know came across at night. We didn't process those. All we have is a footprint. I mean, there's just so many silly things that this administration just turns its head to. So I think Ukraine has become that they can go to. Every time a little bit of attention starts being paid to the border, they want to talk about Ukraine. We want Ukraine to win, no doubt. But at what cost? We cannot give them America to win it.
Well, and I guess that they object to tying it to any kind of border funding, Israel aid or whatever.
Republicans do. Right. Republicans do, not the Democrats.
Well, they do object to tying it to border aid, right? The Ukraine funding. They want
it started out. That's what they wanted. They kind of whipped that idea, not as a entire body. That didn't go over at all. They know that won't pass.
So they don't want it. They want to keep it separate from border, but
we want it separate too. Because I think they're going to have a hard time getting that to pass. But putting them both together definitely is not going to pass. Well, you got some Democrats that don't want to change the border, so they're going to vote against it. You've got a lot of Republicans that don't want to send more money to Ukraine. They would have voted against it. So that was dead on arrival. Now they've got a chance that they can split it up. And they can get enough Democrats, enough Republicans to vote for it. They might do it that way. And that's really their only option.
Well, that's what
split it up.
It looked like to me they were using Ukraine as leverage, or the Republicans were using Ukraine as leverage on the border, and Democrats are really cool to that idea. Like, oh, you want Ukraine funding? Well, you better give us some border money as well.
So we have tried that leverage, not we, not me, but I know the Republican Party has tried that leverage. We've tried everything we know to stop the bleeding coming across the border. I mean, I met with the mayor of Kyiv, Ukraine. I've met with so many people trying to figure out how we can balance this out. if we had better accounting or accountability in Ukraine, I think they could get more. But they're in the middle of a war. Some people will tell you we got the bullets labeled down, the serial numbers. We know where everything's at. I've seen nothing to prove that. I mean, the stories up here fly. You know, it's Washington. If you don't like the stories, make your own up and get it started. Everybody will believe it. But we've tried everything. We're running out of a lot of things. Not to mention we've still got budget issues. We've still got appropriations we've got to get across the floor. We've got a lot going on that we've got to get done. But this Senate has really hampered us in so many ways.
Right.
It gets frustrating. You know, again, from being up here and covering it, the Senate's in their own world, and then the House is, you know, we're kind of the stepchildren sometimes.
Congressman, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but thanks for doing this again, and look forward to hopefully we get you back on the schedule for next week.
Thank you, Jeff. Look forward to hearing from you. Take care. God bless.
Congressman Jerry Carl there, running for the 1st Congressional District. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. I'm sure you knew.